This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, we saw a mostly mixed trading day to start the first trading session of October on Monday. Welcome to Market Talk. Great to have you with us here once again. Thanks for making us part of your day. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. As we saw, again, a fairly mixed trading day on Monday across the markets in the grains, in livestock. We saw a bit of a rebound in stocks and energy. So we're going to talk about all of it coming up here today. John Heimberg, Total Farm Marketing, will be our guest analyst in segment 2 and 3. Right away, though, we're kicking off the show. Got to take a look at what is happening with the weather situation as we get into the month of October. Eric Snodgrass of Nutrien joins us. And Eric, great to have you here. Hard to believe it's already the month of October. Where is this year going, buddy?
I don't know. You know, I think for guys that have jobs like we do, where there's a daily cadence that you have to just meet a bunch of short deadlines, the days just fly by. You know, I'm like, it is October. And here we are, you know, looking at, we've had pretty wide open harvest windows, and we've avoided for the most part anything to be disruptive, but you know, it's October, so we should expect change at some point.
Definitely. Well, we're going to talk about those harvest windows here in a minute. I want to touch on Hurricane Ian now that that has gone through Florida and parts of the Southeast, the Carolinas, etc. And we look at some of the devastation we saw in certain areas. What are your thoughts looking at Ian now that has impacted the country and started to move on?
Yeah, I think when it's all said and done, we'll probably find Ian sitting somewhere in the top 10 most expensive U.S. natural disasters, just given the way it cut across Florida. And on top of that, it produced, up to 2 feet of rain in parts of Florida. Then it, hooked out into the open Atlantic, came back in North Carolina, South Carolina, where over the weekend they saw some places between 3 and 8 inches of rain. It's kind of a critical time a year for them, just given that they do a lot of double cropping in places. So some of the crops still need to finish. It could really affect the stand quality. But the most difficult thing for a lot of us was that, you know, earlier in the week when we were watching Ian, there was a lot of consensus that we were going to bring rain into Georgia, hitting the cotton crop. We were going to bring rain into eastern halves of Tennessee and Kentucky. In fact, last week when we talked, I thought we would see rain almost getting to your area. At least you'd see the cloud cover. But man, that front that sat over Florida just kept diverting it farther and farther east. So, I mean, just a reminder that it's hard to predict these things, but we do stay on top of them and keep up with the latest updates. But Ian was devastating, and we're going to continue to hear this week about all the problems that Ian's going to cause.
Anything else you're seeing come out of the tropics right now? I believe I saw over the weekend a big storm on the western coast of Mexico, but that shouldn't impact anything too much in the U.S. But anything else you're seeing in the tropics right now?
Yeah, but the only thing you're going to get out of that system that's off the west coast of Mexico is it's going to bring some moisture into the four corner states, which have had just a phenomenal year for the southwest monsoon. But that's about it. No, it's not even going to, just the northern edge of the moisture is going to get there. We're watching two areas in the tropics, but neither threaten the United States. There's one just to the east of the Lesser Antilles, but it's looking to go into Central America if it develops. National Hurricane Center gave that a 40% chance. And then there's one that's way out in the middle of the Atlantic that they've given a 70% chance of developing, but it's supposed to go right up the middle part of the Atlantic and decay there. So good news is we're backing away from that in the near term.
Well, Eric, let's talk about the harvest windows ahead here for the U.S. I know we've had pretty good harvest weather the last couple of weeks, really giving us a chance to accelerate. I know we're talking frost, though, more frost for parts of the upper Midwest. So as you look at that harvest window here getting into October, what are you seeing and what's the latest on some of that frost potential?
Yeah, I think the thing that I was most impressed with the atmosphere, if I can even say that, right? If I was impressed with what it did over the weekend, was it's really started to cut off a low between Hawaii and Alaska. Now, why that matters for us is that if you cut off a low there, the jet stream just has to go around. It's like a split in a stream. So it ends up ridging over the west. We bring in northwest flow across the midsection of the country, and it just does two things. Produces a lot of upper level convergence, which builds high pressure. Things stay dry, which is good for harvest and fall application. But it also delivers shots of colder air. And the first one we're going to see will start to move into the northern plains, maybe Wednesday, but really getting there on Thursday and then sweep through, you know, Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning. So for like Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, a frost at this point in October is about a week early compared to the median. It's certainly not unheard of course, but then it departs to Kentucky over toward West Virginia. And this would be an early frost by maybe up to 2 weeks, but anything that was planted late, of course, could get hit by this, but I don't hear a whole lot of folks worried about it given how quickly the crop caught up with some of the summer heat we saw in the midsection of the country. But just get ready, because this Saturday morning, like right here in my home state of Illinois, I'm going to a harvest festival over in Springfield, Lincoln Memorial Gardens. I told my parents, like, hey, we're going to be dressing for winter in the early morning because it's going to be cold that morning.
So definitely something to watch here. But harvest, for the most part, as I said, has really accelerated along. I know combines are rolling. A lot of guys finding some better than expected yields as well, as I've heard. And it just feels like overall, you know, it's set us up for a pretty good fall harvest season. The weather has so far, Eric.
Yeah. And like I said, I think those windows are going to stay open through the middle of the month for the most part. If anything comes through, it's not like it's delivering, you know, really heavy rainfall. Most of the time that what's coming through is generally less than, you know, a quarter of an inch. We're not talking about much when it does come through. But, you know, there's always a but when it comes to the forecast. I'm going to be watching the second half of the month, specifically once we get out there past the 20th. I'm starting to see some indications of the Pacific jet picking up momentum, which means we could start to close up these windows relatively quickly, but it may not be for another 15 to 20 days before we talk about that happening. But when you're in the combine, the time goes by very fast and you lose what you had in terms of time. So let's just keep an eye on it. Just something to watch for toward the end of this month.
Definitely. Let's talk South America as well. I think our weather focus is really shifting there now that we are getting our harvest underway / wrapped up. What's the latest you're seeing with some of the drought issues in Argentina and some of those rains starting up maybe in Brazil?
Well, the forecast models over the weekend were relatively unkind to Argentina. I mean, along the Paraná River into Uruguay, and then much of Argentina's main growing area continues to be cool and continues to be drier than normal. Just a lot of high pressure in spring. But across Brazil's central and northern growing areas, we continue to see above normal rains. And as a consequence, the report we got on Friday of planting progress is we're about 5% above the normal planting progress. Now, it's very early, but it's moving. And all the long-range forecasts continue to suggest that there's going to be decent moisture in place across much of Brazil's central and northern growing areas, which just tends to push them along quickly. So it just kind of opens up their whole crop calendar if that first crop of soybeans goes in on time. So if there's pressure, it's down in Argentina.
We appreciate the time. As always, you can sign up for Eric's daily weather newsletter on our website, markettalkag.com. With that, Eric Snodgrass of Nutrien, always appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
Yeah, thank you.
And again, that is Eric Snodgrass of Nutrien joining us here today on Market Talk with a look at the weather for the first week of October. Hard to believe, again, I mentioned this as well, that we're already into October. Harvest is ongoing, and it's definitely, we're seeing the year just fly by. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk markets. John Heinberg, Total Farm Marketing. He'll join us on the way after the break. Back with more Market Talk coming up right after this.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, we saw a fairly quiet, choppy trading day on Monday as we started off the month of October. Here to walk us through what he saw in the trade action on Monday, starting off the new week and the new month, John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing is our guest analyst here today. John, good to catch up with you. Hope you had a good weekend. And, you know, coming back from the weekend, John, just to felt like a relatively kind of just quiet start to a new month and a new week. Not a whole lot happening in this grain and oilseed trade and livestock trade on Monday, John.
Yeah, we had some decent money flowing those outside markets, so that at least brought a little bit of money into the commodity space in general. You got stock market did push almost 800 points higher at one time. Crude oil, $4 a barrel higher. You know, so maybe we're seeing some price recovery there. You know, maybe it's good just to get September behind us. It's typically one of the worst months in terms of those equity markets. And now maybe we got some value out there. We'll see. Nothing's out of the woods in my mind there. So, but that's spilled over to the grains as well as the livestock sector. You know, there's some money flow when you see cattle trade higher and grains trade higher. So that kind of tells you at least we got some money moving into the markets in general. So, but kind of like you said, not a strong day, but at least a positive day. And, you know, holding on to those gains, at least in the corn market from Friday, you're going to re-challenge some of those levels that we put in after that report. And beans at least holding on to some key support levels here. You know, after those numbers last week on grain stocks came in a little bit disappointing.
Yeah, John, well, let's talk about this a little bit more. You know, Friday, you mentioned that report. We saw a little bit of spread action. Soybeans took a big down day against corn and wheat. And then you come in Monday morning, we kind of saw a reversal of that spread just a little bit, the soybean corn, soybean wheat spread. But then, as you alluded to, corn kind of found its way back, finished okay. Wheat outside of Chicago wheat had a pretty mixed day, right around unchanged. But we think about that report Friday. Soybean number, I think a lot of folks surprised by that one, that the crop got larger. But still, you and I were talking about this off the air. We're still tight soybeans. I mean, we can't forget that and lose sight of that, I think, in this market right now.
You know, very much so. You know, we added 30 million off the crop from last year that pushed that carryout number above expectations. That, you know, 230 million doesn't exactly fill up the whole bin, if you know what I mean, in that regard. So we are still extremely tight. We'll have to see how harvest goes. Obviously, now the focus will be on those October numbers. You know, this might be one of our strongest weeks for bean harvest, at least in the area, you know, where I was over the weekend. Things were rolling pretty aggressively there as beans were ready to go. And so we'll start seeing that hit the marketplace. We're seeing that maybe on some of the cash basis levels out there, too, in the front end, where basis levels are just kind of saying we're good for the front. Now we need more for the deferred. So we'll have to kind of watch how this market handles that. Typically, though, we see selling pressure on a historical level into the 1st of October. Then we typically see good strength going past that first window of October and, you know, we see markets trend higher. Again, now seasonality, you know, is based on year-by-year levels, but that's at least kind of the pattern we see. So we'll have to see if that bean market can kind of hold these key levels of support here that we put in on Friday and, again, kind of tested and held today and see if we can turn this market higher. It might be just a combination of what happens with corn and as well. If corn goes higher, beans will probably come with it. If beans lose their traction and fall apart, it'll probably put some pressure on the corn market, which is at the exact opposite top side of the range.
Well, thinking about that corn market a little bit and just the general harvest momentum as well, you alluded to it, a lot of beans ready in places. A lot of farmers prioritizing that over some corn right now, but still corn coming out as well. And I think the general consensus I've heard from a lot of growers, especially in the Western Corn Belt, a lot better yields than they anticipated, given the heat that they saw over the summer, John.
You know, that seems to be a little bit of a theme. It typically kind of happens anyway in these windows because obviously the doom and gloom factor until you get the combines in the field. You know, again, working some beans over the weekend and talking to people in the area I was from, things were doing pretty well. They were pretty happy with the bean results. Beans are a little bit small, but at the same time, still good numbers out there. You know, we're seeing that too, and maybe some of the corn as well. So again, it just kind of depends on what the window was, where things got hit in terms of temperatures. There's going to be a lot of variability, I think, in this harvest again this year. So we'll see. You know, now the focus will be that October report. Do we get additional reductions on that corn and soybean yield? Or do we get a little bit of a bump up maybe on that soybean yield given some of the later weather? You know, then obviously the biggest part, I think, this thing now, we kind of got an idea where the supply picture is going to be. We're going to see some further adjustments one way or another. Do we get some demand? I think that was what helped the soybean market today. It wasn't a big sale, but we did have that small sale of 110,000 tons of beans this morning to unknown destinations. So somebody likes bean prices down here at 1360 on the board, and they stepped in. So that's going to be the piece we need to get this thing moving here. Obviously, it's going to be the demand side of the equation, you know, to get this market at least get fired up a little bit, that we got some buyers into that tight supply.
John, you mentioned cash basis a little bit. As you're talking to growers, folks maybe you talked to this weekend, are you hearing a lot of this crop that's coming out of the field going straight to town, or is some of it getting stored? I wonder what that ratio could look like and how that could affect basis here over the next couple of months.
Well, at least I think in the initial here, this market was trying to pull especially corn bushels out forward. But again, now you're starting to see that basis, at least in terms of things I've seen in our area, move back to those deferred contracts a little bit more. So saying maybe we got enough here at this time frame. Mm-hmm. I know there's going to be some concerns regarding the Mississippi River and its water levels and the ability to move barges up and down. So we'll have to kind of watch how that plays. You know, if there's a way for a producer to get some storage, get out into that January, December window, excuse me, it might pay for you a little bit in that regard, just because of the bump on the basis side, as well as, you know, just maybe some potential strength in futures. So, but if you're going to take those risks, you're going to put the beans or corn in the bin to get to that little extra next tier, definitely don't forget about the downside risk that's there, because again, we see how fast these markets can move. So if you're going to store it, just try to pick up a few cents, make sure you definitely keep some protection underneath, so you're not sitting back wishing you would have done something differently.
Glad you mentioned the Mississippi River issues. I know that's going to be just another transportation challenge, it sounds like, here as we work into the fourth quarter. John, as well, we were talking a little bit about export demand, and you brought up some demand just a minute ago. What are your thoughts on what you saw with export inspections on Monday morning? How is that looking overall on the grain side?
You know, corn and beans continue to be lackluster. And again, I think that might be due to just the tight supply that's out there versus, you know, the fact that demand is slow, okay, in that regard. You know, we just got confirmation, even though they did bump the bean number up, there's still not many beans out there. And even though the corn number even got tighter. So that just kind of tells me that, you know, the supplies are not moving. Now we'll start getting some fresh supplies in here. You'll start seeing those export inspection numbers start picking up here because of those supplies are more available to the marketplace. You know, so that'll be something we need to see going forward. Wheat market, that's a good place that, you know, we've been seeing some decent movement there. Actually, the numbers there, I classify them as friendly. We're still a little behind the pace what we need for USDA, but we're off to a good start, and that's encouraging. Now, if we continue to see some sales moving here, continue to get some bushels moving, that's going to stay supportive of that wheat market overall. You know, we're watching that U.S. dollar. It's a big key factor here. I think that was something that really weighed on things in September. Did put a turn on the charts here, and it's starting to trend lower. Now we'll see how long it wants to go down. But at least at this time frame, that's maybe making everything ease off a little bit. That was probably a little bigger piece of the puzzle today in terms of why we saw strength across the marketplace.
Well, and diving a little more onto the wheat side, I know we have drought issues in the Southern Plains, winter wheat planting ongoing right now. It's dry in Argentina. We have the Ukraine issue. So I know there's a lot of red flags ahead in this wheat market. What are your thoughts with how wheat acted on Monday? I know Chicago found a little pressure while KC and spring wheat were just kind of quiet on the day.
Yeah, a little disappointing action in that Chicago market. We got 200-day moving average, 100-day moving average around this 920, 915 area. A lot of key resistance there. We haven't been above that area for quite a while on a consistent level. So there's some sellers sitting there. They're going to challenge the market. They're going to defend some of those short positions. I think we get through there, you can see a pretty big pop, at least on the technical side, as well as some stops triggering. So it's going to be a spot we kind of got to watch. Again, today, though, the sellers kind of won out in the long run as we faded off those highs. But really, we kind of just traded within the range on Friday. So consolidation is still in here. So next couple of days will be pretty key. Obviously, those Southern Plains weather conditions are going to be something we need to watch as winter wheat planting is kicking in. You know, we need that moisture to get there. We haven't seen it yet on a full scale. You know, that's going to continue to give some support into that crop, and that should help the wheat market overall. And you go globally, you just got to watch what's happening. Obviously, European wheat out there, the Russian wheat crop, what's going on in Argentina, some issues in terms of crop production down there that could be helping support this market. Still like the wheat market, at least where it is at this time frame, for maybe some move higher. But we need just some positive news, again, to make some money want to flow into that market. You know, the funds are still sitting relatively short. Not a big short position, but they are short wheat. Maybe a little news will help get them out of that market, which could lift this market, or get out of that short position, which could lift this market higher.
And again, we're having a conversation today with John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing with our market analysis here on today's show. We're going to take a look at the closing numbers from Monday's action and continue our conversation with John. We'll talk livestock. We'll think about the upcoming October WASDE report and more as we continue with Market Talk. We'll be back with more in our conversation with John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing coming up right after this.
When it comes to protecting your investment in fuel and diesel-powered equipment, Diesel X Gold from FS clearly beats other diesel fuels. New detergents disperse contaminants to prevent sludge that plugs filters and causes unexpected downtime. And now, better moisture handling chemistry helps ensure your fuel stays dry, reducing microbial growth and fuel line freeze-ups. So when you're deciding what fuel to use, choose Diesel X Gold, absolutely the best fuel to power and protect your diesel equipment. Contact your local FS Energy specialist today or visit GoFurtherWithFS.com.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Jesse Allen with you here in studio. John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing is our guest on today's show. We're going to get back to our conversation with John in just a minute. Closing numbers from the trade on Monday. December quarter up 3.25, 680 and 3/4. March quarter was up 3.5, 687 and a half. May quarter up 3.5, 688. November soybeans 9.25 higher, 1374. January beans up 8.5, 1384. March was up 8.5, 1391. At 3/4. October bean meal up 240 to 405.60. Beet oil October up 153 points at 66.88. Chicago wheat December down 9.5, 912. March was down 7, 925 in Chicago wheat. Kansas City wheat December down 2.75, 988 and 3/4. March up a quarter penny, 985 and a half. Over in the spring wheat market, December was down 2 at 980 on the day with spring wheat for March. That on the day, Monday, that was up 3/4, 985 at 3/4. December oats up 10.5, 4.5. March oats up 10.75, 404.5. Canola up 1180 at 863.80. In the livestock trade, lean hogs October down 45, 88.77. December hogs 150 higher, 77.72. February lean hogs 67 higher at 80.10. Feeder cattle October up 135, 175.52. November up 142, 176.05 in feeder cattle. Live cattle Monday, October up 105, 144.32. December up 97, 148.02. February live cattle 90 higher, 151.55. And April up a dollar, 155.30. Meantime, over in the cotton market as well on the day Monday, October cotton down 108 points, 92.14. December down 114 points at 84.20 on Monday's session. All right, let's get back to our conversation with John Heinberg of Total Farm Marketing, our guest analyst here today on Market Talk. John, as we think about, we saw the small grains, quarterly grain stock summary out now. We have private production estimates set to be out here this week ahead of the October WASDE coming up next week. And I just wonder your thoughts after we've seen the numbers from Friday from USDA. We think about some of the yield ideas, some of the chatter out there in the market. What are your thoughts heading into this October WASDE report, A, and B, does it feel like there needs to maybe be some risk management assessment in play ahead of that report in case we get some surprises?
You know, I think you got to all the way across the board here, just regardless of what grain you're talking about, not just mentioning the macro side and the concerns regarding the economy and what could happen in money flow. You know, when you're still looking at historical values as price continue to firm, you need to be on the defensive side to protect that value, whether it's making some light sales and getting some reownership, make sure you keep some puts underneath just to build that floor. You know, even the wheat market, you're back above $9. You know, we were at $7.60 just a handful of weeks ago. So that's a heck of a move, you know, to start protecting some value that's in front of you. So that's going to be still the key in my mind. If we continue to see prices move higher, make sure you're building something underneath. If you're going to store it in the bin, get something underneath that bin out into the spring. If you're going to, you know, if you're looking at next year's crop, make sure you got something starting to work. There's going to be a lot of variables coming into play over the next handful of months that could move this market quickly one way or another. So make sure you protect value using some type of strategy. but I like that flexibility side of the put option, so at least keeps those prices available to you to the upside.
John, let's talk livestock. Looking at the lean hog market first off on Monday's trade. Not a bad day. A little bit of support maybe being found here at some of these levels that we've come down to in hogs. A little spreading, it looked like, with October against some of the deferred months, though. What's your thoughts on this hog market trade as we start the fourth quarter?
No, we had decent move in retails today. That helps support the market a little bit. $5 higher in carcasses at midday. But we can't get that cash trade to get any traction. That's still something that concerns me at this time frame. You know, quarterly hogs and pigs numbers did come out on Thursday and again, not showing much expansion, which keeps me friendly to this market in the longer term. But at least right now here in the front end, we still got a fairly decent amount of hogs available. And that's kind of weighing on the market. You know, we saw that rolling action today, getting out of the October contracts, moving them out into December as we're getting closer to the expiration of October. That's where we saw that buying strength in December today. And December looks undervalued. You got the index at 94, December at 77. You know, the hog number is still staying tight. If we can keep the demand going to the consumer, that December contract probably has some room to work itself a little bit higher here, at least narrow up that gap to the index. So, you know, the hog market still is not out of the woods. We're consolidating at the bottom of these ranges. And after this hard sell-off, and it was aggressively how this market came down. So right now, it just needs the right bit of news maybe to get that money flow in the right direction. But I'm still very, very cautious here that maybe we're just building up some bear flag formations that we get a further break if things stay on the negative side, especially in the news front.
Definitely. Well, thinking about the cattle market as well, probably getting a little support, I would think, from the positive stock market day on Monday. What's your thoughts in this cattle trade right now, John?
You know, cattle market's been beaten up, but, you know, not quite as bad as the hog market, but pretty beat up here, especially given the supply numbers. You know, we've seen cattle on feed numbers come out here again a week ago. You know, we're basically in line with last year. Placements continue to stay a little bit lighter, you know, overall, even though we were up above expectations this last month. You know, the cattle supplies still just look tight. But again, it became the anti-inflation play. It became the recession play. You know, as the stock market tumbled, that money left the cattle market as well. So it was nice to see some spin back today in the equity markets. And that I think did step in and help out live cattle and feeders. You know, just a market that's strongly oversold overall, you know, even with corn being a little bit higher today. So to me, it looks like a value here, but kind of like hogs, a little cautious of it. Just don't like the way the charts are setting up until we get some news that really wants to make this market move a little bit higher. I think there's some downside susceptibility still there just from the technical standpoint. If we break through these lows, if that corn market decides to kind of really kick in and take out this top of the range, feeders are going to probably be on the backside of that, even with the tighter supplies. So, you know, looking at the cattle market, we're hoping we get some footing here. It is undervalued in my mind when you see what's going on in terms of the countryside versus the futures market. But at the same time, though, we need something to be a trigger to get the money want to come back in and push this market back up.
You wonder as well, some of that money coming back into this cattle market, you know, could it be something where we don't really see that buying until early next year? I wonder if that could be the case possibly in this cattle market, John.
No, very much so. We're still looking at front end supplies that are relatively comfortable. You know, that's, the cash market is higher. I mean, we're up 143 last week, just a tick or two higher, still well supported historically. You know, so it might be just a window where we just go sideways for a while here until maybe we see some movement on the demand side or some movement on the cash or reflecting those tighter feedlots getting out there as we move into next year in 2023. So, you know, again, I still like the longer term view. You still got a lot of good value. Again, like I've said before, as market prices climb, don't forget about those puts underneath. You know, for our newsletter, I was buying 150 puts all the way out into June over the last handful of weeks before this market rolled over, protecting that live cattle market because that's just historically a good price. And, you know, unfortunately, with the market pulling back, we're starting to see those puts kick in, but at least it was nice to know for that producer that if something really fell apart, they still protected a historically good value.
John, let's talk the dairy market as well. What are your thoughts there as we start the month of October?
You know, we've seen a nice recovery in those milk prices. Again, watching what's going on with blocks and barrels. You know, again, milk prices back above 21, maybe getting a little bit range bound between 21 to 20 or 20 to 22, 21 and a half again. So watching what's going to happen on demand front. You know, we saw a decent move in cheese that kind of helped firm this market back up. Hearing a lot of decent chatter about export demand. Obviously, it's football season. pizza season comes into play here too. You know, so right now, milk market, pretty much a sideways market, getting a bit of a wide range, but at this time frame, still good value for producers to take advantage of. You know, make sure you're managing that risk, looking at some of the programs that are out there or using defensive strategies. You know, again, still with like milk market like all the others, we're not too much news away from a good move one way or another. Make sure you maintain price flexibility, and that's where finding those fixed floors with open upside is still going to be very, very key, and then you can work your marketing plan around that type of a structure.
Well, John, great stuff as always. Before we run out of time, the floor is yours. Anything else you want to mention or anything else you want to reiterate here today?
You know, watch those outside markets. What's happening with the dollar? You know, we got a lot of different things happening politically. You got Brazil going into elections. You know, which party pulls out there may be a factor on the Brazilian currency, how that plays into the U.S. dollar index. You know, we are not out of the woods on the negative side in any of these markets right now. So that keeps me very cautious here. You know, all it's going to take is some bad news or black swan event one way or another. We can see prices quickly tumble. So again, stay cautious, stay optimistic, but don't be foolish. Take advantage of good prices when you have them, but then find a way to keep your flexibility open to the upside, because one weather event in South America over the next couple of months, and we could see prices move significantly higher on those globally tight supplies.
Well, John, the producers want some advice. I want to talk to you, the team there at Total Farm Marketing, about their marketing strategy. What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Sure. I'd love to chat with them anytime. Feel free to give me a call, 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email, johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And again, don't forget about our website, totalfarmmarketing.com. A lot of great information for producers out there. I know times are busy. Feel free to pick up the phone. No obligation, just to have a conversation.
John, always a pleasure. Thanks for the time. Enjoy the rest of your week, sir, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a good week, everybody. Stay safe in the harvest.
And again, John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing, our guest analyst here on the show today. Always great insight and discussion with John when he is on the show. We appreciate him joining us here today to walk through the fairly quiet, choppy market trade we saw on Monday's session. Well, coming up next, we're going to take a look at some of the news headlines here in agriculture. Also, we'll listen back to our midday commentary from Monday midday with Arlen Suderman of Stone X and hear his thoughts on the trade action to start out the new month and quarter number four. We'll be back with more market talk coming up right after the break.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And we continue here on Market Talk today. Thanks again for joining us. Jesse Allen back with you in studio. Great analysis from John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing, as well as a look at weather earlier in the show with Eric Snodgrass of Nutrien. Always appreciate both of them joining us here on the show to provide their thoughts and insight into what's going on with the markets and the weather situation, which of course impacts the markets as well. And again, harvest weather looking pretty good here still for the next couple of weeks ahead. Well, a few more market comments. We always like to get thoughts and analysis from Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at Stone X. We talk to him for our midday commentary each and every weekday that we release on our podcast feeds. And we like to share as much of that commentary on the show here as well for you to take a listen to. Talked to Arlen around midday on Monday, got his thoughts on what was happening in the grain and livestock trade, as well as what's happening in the stock market to start off the month of October.
Yeah, they really weren't influenced too much by this morning's export inspection report. That showed 24.5 million bushels of wheat shipped in the week ending September 9th, which continues to be a strong pace we've seen the last several weeks. Corn shipments came in at 26 million bushels, soybeans at 21.1 million bushels. So corn and soybeans are really not impressing anyone. But these markets really didn't respond at all to those numbers. It seems mostly that we're just kind of reversing some spread action took place on Friday after that USDA reports that really had some surprises for corn, soybeans, and wheat, that saw corn and wheat really move higher, spreading against soybeans. And that's what we're kind of saw reversed early today. And now we seem to have worked our way through some of those spread profit-taking trades.
Well, it looks like over in stocks and energies on Monday, the dollar breaking a little bit, and stocks and energies finding some good support here to start off the new month, Arlen.
They really are getting some new money in. Energy market going higher because of reports that OPEC Plus, the oil cartel, may actually cut production by better than a million barrels per day. So that's providing some support for the energy market. Stocks feeling like maybe they've priced in recession fears. We're starting off the week with that new money, kind of on an up note today.
And Arlen, as well, real quick, in the livestock trade, finding some decent buying strength there, it appears, on Monday. I wonder if some of that is tied to some of that new money flow maybe in the stock market, and also seeing corn just kind of being relatively quiet on the day.
Yeah, we are seeing some follow-through strength on the cattle market, which is encouraging overall, and ideas that we're going to see this week's cash trade steady to maybe a little bit firmer. And really, as we look over the last week, slaughter rates holding in there, and some positive fundamentals for the cattle industry. Over on the pork side, though, we're seeing some strength there, too, some follow-through strength, and that seems to be boosted by what we're seeing in the outside markets, particularly the stock market, giving a little bit of optimism there after the recent weakness we've seen. So generally a positive day in the protein complex.
And again, that's comments and analysis with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, around midday on Monday. We talked to him for the Market Talk Midday commentary. Well, nearly 2 years ago, Mexico announced that by 2024, they would ban U.S. corn imports if it's genetically modified or grown using glyphosate. That's why the U.S. government and ag leaders are working to resolve this issue.
Well, that's something we're very concerned about.
That's Dave Salmonson, Senior Director of Government Affairs with the American Farm Bureau Federation, talking about the decree issued by Mexico's President Obrador, which could cause billions of dollars of economic harm to both countries. Salmonson says that officials are unsure what that decree applies to specifically.
A little confusion there because they were saying, is it all corn? Is it white corn for they make their tortillas for food products? Is it all yellow corn? That's never, at least our satisfaction, been really explained. I mean, so we're concerned it could affect all corn.
He adds that the issues between the U.S. and Mexico extend beyond corn imports and exports.
They're also not doing approvals of biotech products. So that's restricting our ability and the companies to release those products for use here, because then you wouldn't have an export market. So these are of concerns that our government, the Mexican government, they're trying to talk with them about it, trying to work that out. But we remain something that's a high priority for us.
Salmonson adds that Mexico has been a huge ag trading partner going back to when the North American Free Trade Agreement started in 1994. That trade agreement was replaced with the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, or the USMCA, in 2020.
We don't have tariffs going into Mexico, but we still have some standards issues, which can be thorny, and especially with these decrees from the current Mexican government. So whether it's under USMCA or outside of it, this issue's got to get resolved.
Now, according to the USDA, Mexico is expected to import 17.7 million metric tons of U.S. corn in the 22-23 marketing year. Well, lastly, here on today's Market Talk, according to a story from DTN, cattle producers who want to purchase hay need to plan ahead. The drought this growing season has limited supplies and pushed prices higher, according to University Extension educators. When purchasing hay, there are several factors to be considered, including price, quality, and storage. In a University of Nebraska Lincoln Center for Agricultural Profitability webinar titled Planning Ahead for Hay Purchases, UNL Extension staff recommended livestock producers who plan to purchase hay begin to think about their needs now. Supply is going to be limited due to the drought currently affecting forage production. Randy Sainer, UNL Extension Beef Systems educator based in North Platte, Nebraska, said forage production hay stocks in the U.S. are at a 50-year low thanks in part to dry conditions. All of Nebraska was affected by drought this growing season, and alfalfa production will be considerably less in 2022 compared to 2021, he said. Now, in Nebraska's case, with less production within the state, some producers might consider shipping hay in from other states. And Sainer said if producers can't find any hay in Nebraska, they might want to look at South Dakota. They produced a lot of hay this year. It just depends on your location. A lot of feedlots, especially as we get into the southwestern plains where they've seen drought, hay is going to be an issue. Feed is going to be an issue. It's a story we're going to continue to watch as we move into the fall and winter months. Well, that's all the time we have for Market Talk today. Thanks again for joining us. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk with the team at agmarket.net. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you a fantastic rest of your day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
When it comes to protecting your investment in fuel and diesel-powered equipment, Dieselex Gold from FS clearly beats other diesel fuels. New detergents disperse contaminants to prevent sludge that plugs filters and causes unexpected downtime. And now, better moisture handling chemistry helps ensure your fuel stays dry, reducing microbial growth and fuel line freeze-ups. So when you're deciding what fuel to use, choose Dieselex Gold, absolutely the best fuel to power and protect your diesel equipment. Contact your local FS Energy specialist today or visit GoFurtherWithFS.com.